This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Let's have a look at Exodus. Can we go to Exodus 16, please? Okay, verse 1. We're going to read the whole thing. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There too the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and we ate all the bread we wanted. But now you've brought us out into this wilderness to starve us all to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening you will realize it was the Lord who brought us out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he heard your complaints, which, by the way, were against him and not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? Then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. Then Moses said to Aaron, announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out towards the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have bread, all the bread you want. You will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp, and the next morning the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance of as fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it is the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Then Moses told them, do not keep any of it until morning. But some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. After this, the people gathered the food morning by morning, each family according to its need. And as the sun became hot, the flakes they had not picked up melted and disappeared. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much as usual, 4 quarts for each person instead of 2. Then all the leaders of the community came and asked Moses for an explanation. He told them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set aside what is left for tomorrow. So they put some aside until morning, just as Moses commanded. In the morning, the leftover food was wholesome and good, without maggots or odour. Moses said, eat this food today, for today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. You may gather the food for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground. The Lord asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? Oh, hang on, sorry. Some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day and they found no food. And then the Lord asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? They must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That is why he gives you a 2-day supply on the sixth day, so there will be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must each stay in your place. Do not go out to pick up food on the seventh day. So the people did not gather any food on the seventh day. The Israelites called the food manna. It was white like coriander seed, and it tasted like honey wafers. Then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Fill a 2-quart container with manna to preserve it for your descendants. Then later generations will be able to see the food I gave you in the wilderness when I set you free from Egypt. Moses said to Aaron, get a jar and fill it with 2 quarts of manna, then put it in the sacred place before the Lord to preserve it for all future generations. Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He eventually placed it in the Ark of the Covenant in front of the stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant. So the people of Israel ate manna for 40 years. Until they arrived at the land where they would settle. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. The container used to measure the manna was an omer, which was about 1/10 of an ephah. It held about 2 quarts. Amen. That's a good story. There's a lot in there. The one thing that I want us to look at is the whole idea that God supplied according to their appetite. Did you get that? There's a lot of other stuff in there. There's a lot of complaining, a lot of doing the wrong thing, a lot of God having to restate his commandments. But the whole fact that God supplied the children of Israel according to how much they could eat. Did you get that? So some could eat a lot. He gave them a lot. Some could only eat a little bit. He gave them a little bit. Each had exactly according to their appetite. I don't think it's a coincidence either, just as a by the by, that the manna tasted like honey. How good is that? Psalm says, how sweet your words taste to me, they are sweeter than honey. God's pretty clever. He got it all together. Matthew 5:6 says, you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. So today, I want to ask you about your appetite. Are you hungry? I love food. Charlie, I love it, don't I? I do. I love food. I wake up hungry. Ask the girls at camp last week. I wake up starving every morning. Sometimes before I even wake up, I'm thinking about food. Sometimes I'm thinking about it before I go to bed at night, what I'm going to have the next morning when I wake up. I love food. It wasn't always that way. I didn't always wake up hungry. And my old habits would have been that I would wake up and, this is still part of my habit. The first thing I do is have a cup of coffee. But before, in my old habit, I would drink coffee and that would be it till well after lunch. I wouldn't eat all day. And I would be quite okay with that. I just wasn't hungry. I didn't wake up hungry. I wasn't hungry. So that would have been my old habit, but who knows, that's not good for you. I know all the mums in the congregation are sitting there saying, that is so bad for you. You have to eat breakfast. It's the most important meal of the day. I know that now. We all know that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Did you know that your metabolism doesn't actually start working at all until you've broken your fast in the morning? So there's a few little physical tidbits you can pick up from today. Your metabolism doesn't actually start working till you've broken your fast. When I made a decision to become healthier, one of the first things I had to do was to start eating breakfast. Even when I didn't feel hungry, I knew I had to eat breakfast. So I would start with something small. I ate. After forming that habit and starting that off and training my body to desire food, now I'm hungry all the time. I wake up hungry. And it's sometimes like the more I eat, the hungrier I get. How's your appetite? Now, of course, I'm asking about your spiritual appetite this morning. Who knows that the correlation between our physical life and our spiritual life is not an accident? You know, all the things that we learn about in the physical world, we can relate. Jesus did that all the time. He'd be walking down the street and he'd go, hey, guys, see that fig tree? See that one over there? Or, hey, guys, go and let's catch some fish. All the natural things that are part of our everyday life can be related to our spiritual life. So how is your appetite this morning? You know, when I was thinking about that that word about going deeper, something happened to me a couple of weeks out here a couple of weeks ago after Tim was preaching. And, you know, in your Christian walk, you can usually look at some pivotal times in your life where God really did something. And for me, that was one of them. And so I've been trying to press into God about that. And I know he's calling me to go deeper. And I'm I'm asking for that. And this is one of the things God showed me. He said, it's all about how hungry you are. It's all about how hungry you are, Karen. I will supply what you need according to your appetite. So it's not about how much God has, because who knows, he's got it all. You can't outgive God. You can't outdo God. You can't out want God. Does that make sense? You can't want more of him than he has to give. So it's all about your appetite. How much of him do you want? How is your appetite? One of the first signs that we're sick physically, and for me, I have to be really, really, really sick for this to happen, is you lose your appetite. Isn't that right? If your kids aren't eating or someone's not eating, you're like, what's wrong with you? You must be sick. If you're not, when you get sick, you don't feel like eating. It's one of the last things on your mind. Well, it's the same spiritually. If you've lost your appetite for God, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. It's a sign that there's something wrong and you need to address it. As I was thinking about food this week when I was preparing this message, the one thing that kept cropping up, which I thought was very interesting, I couldn't stop thinking about food suppressants. You know, in the world when people are trying to lose weight or curb their appetite, they can take a pill that will suppress their appetite. You ever heard of those? Appetite suppressants. And they will push down that natural desire to want food. Well, you know what? I think as Christians, we are swallowing bottlefuls of appetite suppressants and we don't even know it. So what are some of these appetite suppressants? Jesus tells a story in Luke 14 about a banquet that's been prepared and the things that stop the people from coming and eating. So let's look at Luke 14. Okay. And this is the parable of the great feast. And we often think of this as being the second coming of Jesus, which it is, but it's also about the banquet that's been prepared for us right now, all right? So let's read from 15. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I've just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I now have a wife, so I can't come." Yeah, doesn't even ask to be excused. It's just like, you'll understand, I can't come. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and the alleys in the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame." After the servants had done this, he reported, "There's still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of these I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." You know, Jesus has prepared a banquet table for us right now. He says he is the bread of life. And he doesn't want you to wait until heaven to feast on him. He has invited every single one of you to the banqueting table now. And sometimes we suppress our appetite with what? The world. The worldly things. We say to Jesus, "Oh, I've just bought a block of land. I can't come and eat today. Or I've just got married. Or I've just, you know, the cares of the world, building our own empire. Relationships are more important." Suppresses our appetite for God. How devastating. When we think about what Jesus paid, we shared communion this morning. When we think about the price he paid for us to come and sit at this table that he's prepared in the midst of our enemies right now, in the midst of your enemies while you're in this world, he's prepared a banqueting table. How's your appetite? Are you hungry? What's stopping you from eating? What is stopping you right now from eating and coming to the banqueting table? Do you know you're never going to want to eat if you're really full? Did you know that? Charlie and I went out to dinner this week. We went to Elevations in Emerald. I can recommend it. It's a beautiful restaurant. And we had the works. Sean is not here, so I can tell you. We had entree. We had beautiful cob loaf, garlic bread, herb butter and all sorts of stuff on it. Then I had, Charlie had calamari, salt and pepper squid or something, and I had fettuccine, smoked salmon, fettuccine with all this. Then we had dessert. What did you have for dessert? I can't remember. Chocolate pudding with all this oozy chocolate stuff coming out of it. I had their version of a Ferrero Rocher. It was really good. You should go there, Catherine. But I got halfway through. When I first sat down, you know what I looked at first? The dessert menu. I'm going to leave room for dessert. By the time I got to that dessert was stunning. It had like little biscuits on the bottom all broken up, and then it had this hazelnut stuff, and then it had chocolate, and then it had caramel, salted caramel ice cream. Oh my goodness, it was beautiful. I couldn't eat it. I ate all that fettuccine and the cob loaf. Well, not all, we shared the cob loaf. But why am I saying that? That dessert was so appealing to me. It was beautiful. I was so full, I was nearly sick. I was still full the next day. That was probably one day I didn't wake up hungry for breakfast. So what I'm saying is when we're full, it doesn't matter how good the thing is. It doesn't matter how much we know we want it. And if we're full, we can't eat it. So what I'm saying is if your appetite for God is lacking, you are full of something else. What are you full of? I'm asking some pretty person. But really, what are you full of? And you know what? The first thing that came to mind, I'm so full of myself. We can get so full of ourselves. We are so full of ourselves. And everything that's going on around about us, our problems, our relationships, our life, money, work, health, we are so full of ourselves that we can't eat, we don't even feel hungry for God because the space is full. Here's a quote from a man, Dave Butts, and he's the founder of the Harvest Prayer Ministry, and he said this: so many Christians today snack their way through the day on junk food activities and then find they have no time to feast with God. We complain about our busyness and our tiredness, but that is typically a spiritual problem more than a problem of schedule. We desire everything except God. We take God in small doses throughout the day and week and somehow hope that on Sunday we can catch up on our time with the Lord. How much room is there in your life for God? How can I make more room in my life for God? God, how can I get hungry when I don't even feel hungry? You ever done that? God, I want to be hungry. God, I want more. I want to want you. I want to want you. I've prayed that prayer before. I want to want you, God, but at the moment I don't want you. Do you know what? We want to want to. How do you get hungry if you're not hungry? How do you make yourself hungry? Well, one thing that God showed me this week is, believe it or not, a way to get hungry for God is to fast. How does that? That sort of sounds a bit, what you're telling me, get hungry by not eating. You know, it seems a little bit. God's been starting to teach me about fasting, and to tell you the honest truth, I'm a little bit scared. I don't know if scared is the right word. I'm a little bit, oh God, okay. I'm feeling the deeper bit now. I'm feeling the water getting a bit deeper here, God. Shauna, I gave Shauna a few books a couple of weeks ago, and I'll tell you what they are in a minute. And she read them, and she's said to me every day, I think for the last 2 weeks, you ready for those books yet? I'm like, no, because I know once I read them, God's going to challenge me. on them. So those books are Fasting and The Fasting Edge, and they're both by Jensen Franklin. And another great book that I'm only halfway through, but it's so powerful, I don't know if any of you read it, it's called A Hunger for God by John Piper. And that's actually a freebie if you want to get online and get that one. And he says a few things, and here's some of them. More than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. Christian fasting is a test to see what desires control us. What are our bottom line passions? We fast because we're hungry for God's word and God's spirit in my life, in our lives. We fast because we long for God's glory to resound in the church and God's praise to resound among the nations. Do we want that? Ultimately, we fast simply because we want God more than we want anything else that this world has to offer. Do I truly? Is that true? Is that true for you? Do you really want God more than anything this world has to offer? Are you willing to put something on the line for that? Because we can say it. We can talk the talk as much as we like. But do we really mean it? Do I really mean that, God? Do I really mean that I want you more than anything that this world has to offer? Or am I so full of junk food that I can't possibly fit you in, even if I wanted to? What do you need to fast? It may be food. It may be food. It may be getting up early in the morning, fasting some sleep. It may be TV. It may be social media. I don't know what it is for you, but you will know. You will know what it is that you would rather be doing than eating and spending time at the banqueting table. I read an interesting comment just this morning, and it actually came as a bit of a warning to me, and it said, be careful that you don't have an appetite for the praise of men. I've been thinking about appetite a lot. Be careful that you don't have an appetite for the praise of men. Do you have to fast that? Do you need to fast needing the approval of man all the time? We can care so much about what people think of us. We really do. A man who is intimate with Jesus is not intimidated by any man. Fasting and eating go together, and both are good. God created both. He created food for us to eat. When I made the decision to become more healthy, one of the most important strategies I learned in that was planning. I would plan what I was going to eat throughout the day. If I didn't plan ahead and have good food in my house or in my cupboard, when I became hungry, I would just eat what was ever there. I would have gone so long without food, I would become starving. I'd be like, I don't care what it is, I'm just going to eat it. Jelly beans, biscuits, this is all stuff that's in our cupboard. Chocolate, anything that's there, I would eat it. That's when I would go for the junk food. If I didn't have the junk food in the cupboard, I couldn't eat it. I would make healthy choices and I would eat healthy. It's the very same principle with our spiritual diet. You can plan ahead. You can plan ahead. You will get hungry, okay? All of you will get hungry spiritually, I'm talking. Everybody gets hungry. We are made that way. I did find it very interesting that God designed us to be dependent on food and drink. Do you know that He could have created us not to need food? He could have done that. He could have created us not to need drink. He could have done that. He could have created us any way He liked. He's a creator. That's the whole deal. He gets to do that. But He didn't. He created us as physical beings. We are dependent on food. Not only do we like it, our lives depend on it, on food and drink. He created us that way. And I think that's to show us that we are dependent on Him. In our spiritual lives are the same. It's not whether you want to be hungry. You better be hungry for God. Your spiritual life depends on your hunger for God. Our spiritual lives depend on it. Everybody gets hungry. You will get hungry. You can plan ahead. You don't have to eat. Don't go through the day wondering whether you will get hungry. You will get hungry eventually. Don't have the junk food so available easily in your spiritual life. Have some good, healthy choices available. Plan to eat regularly from the Word. Plan to spend time with Jesus, the bread of life. Don't allow yourself to go so long without eating that you get to the point of starvation and then you will just eat whatever you find in your spiritual life. I'm talking about, don't go a whole week without eating from the bread of life and then be so starving that you will just grab hold of anything that will fill that space in your life. God created us to need food. Food and water are absolutely necessary. The bread of life. We hunger for you, Jesus, the bread of life, and are thirsting for the Holy Spirit. If we don't have that, you're going to die. Spiritually, you are going to die. If you don't have a hunger for the bread of life and a thirsting for the Holy Spirit, you're going to die. Back in June this year, I spoke about celebration. I don't know if any of you remember that. And I talked about the feasts, the seven feasts that the Lord had ordered the Israelites to put in their calendar and how he'd ordered their whole life around these seven feasts. And at that time, I shared that I thought that was really important because feasting was a time of celebration. And I still believe that that's true. But after looking at it again out of my appetite for God, I see, God, you planned my life around feasts. That shows me that my whole life revolves around eating and feasting and becoming hungry for God. If God supplies according to our appetite, I want to be hungry for God. That's what I want you to go away with today. I don't want you to go away thinking, well, it depends whether God wants it, whether he has enough. Like I said, you can never outdo God. You will never eat all that he has to offer you. But don't fill up on junk food and then complain that you're dying spiritually. Don't fill up on all that other stuff and then wonder why your spiritual life's going down the drain. Why you're not hearing from God. God, why aren't you talking to me? God, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? How's your appetite? What are you eating? What are you eating? Jesus says that he is the bread of life. He desires that you come and eat daily. What is your appetite for Jesus today? And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, well, I can't relate to that. I don't have an appetite. Well, then there's a problem. And you need to do something about it. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to look at your life. God, I want to be hungry. I want to be hungry, God. And I'll admit, sometimes I'm not hungry for God. Sometimes I don't feel like going and doing and being at the prayer meeting. And being at the prayer meeting is not a ritual. You want to have a hunger to do that. We want to have a hunger for the things of God. We should be... I have to say it now because it came into my head. We should not be turning up at church 15 minutes late. 5 minutes. You should be here 15 minutes early. You've known for a long time that church starts at 10 o'clock. It's not about, and I'm not saying that to be, what's the word? Legalistic. I'm talking about your hunger. If it was somewhere else, we would be running. I know people that line up an hour before Aldi's open because they want to get their bargain of the week. It's true. We plan our lives around that. Make sure everything else will fit into that because we're hungry for that. Hunger drives you. When I get hungry, man, I will stop doing whatever it is that I'm doing. If I'm out gardening or if I'm out... I went out on a run yesterday and I didn't pick the best time to go and all I could think about the whole way was food. I was starving. I actually cut the run short so that I could get home and have something to eat quicker. Food, your desire for that will drive you. So if you're not being driven for the things of God, then you're full of something else. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He is food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. That's what he said. Let's stand. I pray today that that God, you seal this word to our hearts. I pray, God, I know that you've been speaking to us today, God. Holy Spirit, I know that you've been speaking to me about my appetite. It's not about how much you've got, because you've got it all. You, according to your riches in glory, you have everything, God. I could never eat to outdo you. So, God, if there's a lack in my life of spiritual desire, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong with me, God. Holy Spirit, show me, show us, Holy Spirit, what we're so full of that we can't fit any of you in. God, you said that you would supply according to our appetite. To some, you supplied a lot because they could eat a lot. God, I want to be one who eats a lot of you. I want to be one who eats a lot of you, and then out of that, I can have the energy and the strength and the ability to go out and do what it is that you have planned for me to do in this earth, Lord. As a church, God, I pray that Mombolt Christian Fellowship would be a church corporately that is so hungry for you. I pray, God, that we would, not out of legalism, but out of a desire and a hunger and a thirst for you, that we would be here, God, well before church starts, because we want to be in your presence with our brothers and sisters, and we want to be hungering and thirsting after you. You promised, God, that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, you would fill us. That is your promise, God. God, I pray that we would be ones that are so hungry and thirsty for you. Make me hungry. I want to be hungry, God. Holy Spirit, I want to be able to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. I want to be a doer of the word, and I pray for us as a church, for each one here in this building who's heard my voice today. I know that you've been speaking, Holy Spirit. I know you've been shining light on areas of lives that need to be changed. I pray, Holy Spirit, that this week you would continue that work, that if it means that we need to give up something, that we would be willing to do that, Lord, because the reward that awaits us is huge. We want more of you, God. We want those words, as has been said over this house, that there would be a great harvest. You have given us Mombolt. You have called us to steward it well. And God, I know that this is part of that. In your word, you said, come out into the deep. I know you've worked all night, but come out deeper with me. And after you've come out deeper, then you can let your net down. God, we don't want to go out and try and let our nets down before we've come out deeper with you. God, I believe that we've got the order wrong sometimes. We've tried to go out and we've tried to harvest and we've tried to do it all, and we come back and we're tired and weary. It's because we've got the order wrong. We've gone out before we've gone deeper. Holy Spirit, continue to draw us deeper with you. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombolt Christian Fellowship.